Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
Bedford's Cost Segregation specializes in generating significant tax savings via their engineering-based studies for commercial real estate clients nationwide. Founded in 2002, Bedford is one of the largest independently owned cost segregation providers in the country, with over 14,000 studies completed to date in multiple offices throughout. The most important decision ownership can make when incorporating cost segregation within their real estate portfolio is selecting the right provider. With only 43 certified cost segregation professionals nationwide, Bedford is proud to employ 8 of them and takes the quality of their people as seriously as their studies. Every certified cost segregation professional has passed a rigorous test combining knowledge of technical engineering issues, legal tax issues, ethics standards, and requires a strict level of prior work experience to be eligible. Bottom line, not all cost segregation providers are created equal. So be sure to take the decision seriously from the beginning to protect yourself for years to come. Please contact Bedford's Business Development Director, Frank Giudice, to learn more.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guests are Shalon Hutchinson and Heath Jones. Thanks for being on the show this morning, guys.
Thanks for having us on. Excited to be here. Been listening to the show for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, awesome to have you all as part of the show. You know, I was talking to them a little bit before the show, before we started recording, and it's neat. We met at a conference nearly, 2 years ago, or I guess it has been over 2 years ago now, and it's just neat to see their progress in this business and what they've been able to accomplish. Hutch, you know, first off, you know, thank you for your service. And Heath is also working with our active duty and very involved as a neuroscientist. That's so interesting, you know, a Marine and a neuroscientist and what they've been able to accomplish together. So the different qualities that they both have. But a little about them, they're the hosts of the Multifamily Real Estate Experiment podcast and the founders of H Squared Capital, which is a multifamily investment firm focused on acquiring apartments in the Southeast markets. Currently, H Squared Capital owns and controls 75 multifamily doors and aims to provide those who have served in our country's military the opportunity to improve their financial situation. They do this by bringing retired service members and accredited investors together to build everyone's wealth through apartment investing. Well, again, welcome to the show, guys. Pleasure to have you on. You know, give us a little bit, maybe just a minute or two of your background. Maybe we talk a little bit about your partnership, how you all met, how that's worked out, because obviously, you know, you all are going to have such different backgrounds or trade skills, those things. But, you know, I've seen it happen so many times when those things are joined. It's like, man, we just reached whole new heights that, you know, we couldn't even think of before. I know that happened with me. I've seen it happen with many others. But give us a little background and then let's move forward into your success story.
I'll let Hutch go first. He started investing in real estate before I did.
Okay. I'm still active in the Marine Corps, been a part of his professional gun club for a little bit over 22 years, and I'm still having fun. You know, it's the best mistakes I've ever made, right? Serving this great country. Look, I'm an immigrant from Jamaica, and I came here. I had a burning desire ever since I was a child to serve in the military. So from an early age, I understood that service is a price you pay for the space that we occupy here on earth or in whatever country you live. Right. So I came to the country in 98, and shortly thereafter, I was off to boot camp and got stationed in Hawaii. Amazing place to be. Man, it was rough over there. You know, waking up every morning, working right on the flight line, maintaining helicopters. Man, it was horrible. Right. Loved my life. But as far as the real estate goes, if you're in the military, you understand that wherever we go, we aspire to buy different houses from place to place. So in my case, my paradigm was single family house because, look, my dad was listening to those cotton sheets tape, right? And he was passing all those information to me. So my dad was my teacher at my early age. So as I grew, buy houses in California, Hawaii, Florida, mostly in the single family space, until I finally made my way back to Florida in 2007 is when I started doing flips. And then I transitioned into multifamily space in 2019. And that's when I meet Heath.
Born and raised in Texas, kind of proud of it, as I think most of us are. Did grad school in Colorado. Then I taught at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, did a postdoc. Then I got hired on to do research for the Army as a DoD contractor. After a couple of years, I got hired on full-time as a federal employee, which is great because it comes with great benefits as opposed to the contracting position. However, it did come with a 15% cut in my salary. And so I scrambled. First, I was like, oh, we can just budget that out. We don't need all the things we need. And that you can't budget back in 15%. It's too difficult. And I didn't want to live a restrictive life. I wanted to live a life of abundance. And so Googled, how do I make more money fast? And you get 22 ways to, side hustles to make more money. And it was like, start a blog, start a YouTube channel, sell stuff on Amazon. And I was like, none of those really spoke to me. And then saw a video with Kiyosaki where he's explaining the difference between assets and liabilities. And he's like, you can buy stuff that puts money in your pocket. And I was like, you always kind of know that that's the case, but you're like, that's what rich people do. That's what people who have money buy stuff that puts money in their pocket. And it was the idea of using banks' money and leveraging other people's money so that everybody puts more money in their pocket together. And so that really spoke to me. And so my wife and I decided to start investing in real estate. We were going to do single family homes, one home a year. After 5 years, we'd have five homes. And it's like, that's cool. 30 years are paid off. That's another little retirement nest egg. But after doing all the numbers, $102 a month for one house wasn't going to get back that 15%. So I told her we need to start doing multifamily. So we, in January 2019, we made the decision. We started looking. By April 4th, we had bought a four unit and a 16 unit. And so we had 20 units within the 3 months, and that recouped the 15%. And I was just like, holy smokes, like, look at the power of real estate, look at the power of scalability. And, this was just two transactions. And if we could do two of those transactions a year or even every 6 months, then we could be setting ourselves up to actually get our time back. And so I'm not spending 40 hours doing a job. I actually love my job. That's one of the, most people are trying to leave a job they don't like. For me, I actually thoroughly enjoy my job, but I do have to say the attraction to being not having to ask for PTO or time off or trying to schedule our trips around when I can be there or not is still very attractive. So that's how I got into multifamily, went to a conference to learn how to do it better and more, met Hutch, and he supercharged me. So.
Awesome. Well, it's interesting, just each of your backgrounds. And again, I get the question often about partnerships, how my business partner and I met and knew that it was the right one. I've been asked by dozens of people to partner and honestly said, no, I just didn't think it was the right fit. And also, I just spent tons of time and money and energy building a brand and a business and investor lists and nurturing those relationships. The last thing I want to do is just hand that off to just anyone, right? Or just ruin all that so quickly. So it was very selective. But when I met my business partner, it was obvious that we were supposed to be partnered. I mean, it was so obvious. I mean, the Lord has just really blessed our business. I mean, in just from our different skill sets and things. But I want to hear, like you all met, what was it that said, you know what? This is the guy that I'm supposed to be partnered with. I really treat that decision like a marriage, and my business partner and I have deep discussions about that often just to ensure we're preferring one another. And, it's like you and I use the analogy, or my wife and I talk about it often. It's like, she's, so much with the kids or the house or all those things. Right. And I'm not in that as much, but she's not in the business, but we could not do either of those things without the other. Right. Even though it's very different tasks. And I see that, our business the same way. How did you all know that, okay, this is the guy for me?
Well, it takes a while to develop a little bit. So we had the good fortune of having Hal Elrod be the speaker that was at that conference. And one thing that he hit big upon is to have an accountability partner. And at that time, I was training for an Ironman event, and I was getting up at 4 in the morning every day. And Hutch knew this because we had been talking at the conference. We sat next to each other on the front row of the conference. And he was like, hey, I've been wanting to get up earlier anyway, because he had already read the Miracle Morning. Would you mind sending me a text and making sure I'm up? So once we got back home from the conference, that Monday, woke up at 4, sent him a text, morning Marine, you up? And you just hear that, you see dot, dot, dot. Yeah. And then after a while, he was getting up more regularly. So was I. And so we started to say, hey, let's hop on a Zoom call because we were both looking in the Huntsville, Alabama market. And did you see this deal? It's like, yeah, what were you thinking? Well, this is how I was underwriting it. And he was like, all right. And so we started discussing more on Zoom. And then we were like, hey, why don't we drive up to Huntsville and start walking properties? And so Hutch drove 2 hours to Enterprise. And then we drove 4.5 hours to Huntsville, 4 hours back. So we had 8 hours in the car. And we started doing that once or twice a month. And we were going to put in offers kind of as our separate businesses. And then we're like, we think we would have better buying power if we were to consolidate. And, you know, you get to know someone really well after 8 hours in the car, listening to Jim Rohn, Grant Cardone, Zig Ziglar, talking about.
And the Real Estate Syndication Show. Don't forget that one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I love that. But you start to, you know, the things that we kind of see silly about how people say stuff in the business and things that we really gravitate towards and things that speak to us. And the differences of opinions we have in certain things and how we can still see the value and why the person understands or believes that way. And so that was really pivotal for me, at least, to see the awesome fire that was in Hutch. And then what I always say is you want to find a person or a partner that's going to see potential in you that you don't even know you have and then push you to pull it out. And that's how I felt about Hutch. And so that's what sealed the deal for me. I don't know how Hutch feels. He just likes hanging out with a goofy guy.
I like nerds. Yeah. So a Gunnery Sergeant Syrup, a fellow Marine of mine, told me a long time ago, right, that if you're not smart or if you think you're smart, surround yourself with smarter people, right? And he is a nerd. I like that. But look, in 2015, I got reassigned from the squadron into a billet where I didn't really want to go, right? But what that billet did, it afforded me the opportunity to actually learn who I was. The reason why I got assigned to that billet is because the environment that I was working was not conducive to my personality, my leadership skills, so on and so forth, right? So when I was reassigned to what we call it junior leadership, it was a corporate course director, I got some time to actually learn who I was. So I got on this path of reading. And the first book I read was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it totally changed my life, right? And that book, the spiral into more book, Think and Grow Rich, the Get Into Yes, Power of Positive Notes, so on and so forth. So you get to learn how to build relationship, how to win friends and influence people. So in 2019, when I was getting ready to attend the Best Ever Conference, my good friend, Tim Kelly, him and I was talking, and Tim asked me, Hutch, why are you going to this multifamily conference? I was like, it's a multifamily conference. I want to learn more. Got it. But Hutch, why are you going? And Tim is a guy, I'm not sure if you know Tim Kelly, but he's the guy where if he asks you a question that is that deep, chances are it's going somewhere. So I'm like, look, I'm just going to the conference. I think you know more. Explain. Like, Hutch, when you go to these conferences, it's important that you go there with a purpose, right? So fortunately for us, we was using this Uber app, right? And Heath was asking a ton of a valuable question and also providing a lot of good content. And I was doing the same too. But what we found out was we kind of gravitated to each other. We was answering each other's questions, right? And adding value to each other's comments, you know, so on and so forth. So by the time we got to the conference, we knew each other. Right. We knew a lot about each other. We knew how we think. We knew what market we were in. We knew our proximity to where we lived. You know, so we got there and it was a warm relationship. We sat in the front row and we just grew from there. You know, so what he talked about was the accountability piece, which was crucial to both of us development. So in talking to Tim Kelly, one of the things that I noticed is that I was on a island. Right. I did not know what I didn't know. And in order for me to grow beyond those islands is to create a team. So I went to that conference with the intention of identifying passive investors, but with the understanding that if someone, right, who have similar values, right, who have similar view, family values, business values, so on and so forth, if I met that person, then we could potentially create a relationship that could morph into something more than just someone that we met at the conference. So accountability after the conference was crucial to us learning each other's aspiration in the multifamily space.
I like that aspect, or this the concept of having an accountability partner. And maybe before you actually form a partnership, I think that's, you said you hit it on the nail on the head there, Hutch. I think, you know, it shows you a lot about the other person, right? I mean, not only are they having to hold you accountable, but just you holding them accountable, and how accountable are they? You know, how diligent are they about doing the things that you all have talked about that are moving themselves forward, much less moving a business together forward yet? I think it's a really, I don't know, insightful way to think about a partnership before you actually partner, is having that accountability partner. Well, tell us about getting to your first deal. Let's dive into that.
Now, to talk about the first deal after we got partnered, we got to talk about the first deal before we got partnered, right?
So okay.
That was a 55 unit in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And all that was that, so we often hear the term about find somebody who's doing what you're doing and then add value, right? But what does that look like? Do you go ask that person, how can I add value to you, right? Our good friend Bruce Peterson would say, now you just give that person an additional job to find a job for you, right? So just conversating, understanding the person who you are aspiring to be like, what are their pain areas? And is that something that you can solve, right? So fortunately, for that first deal that I co-sponsored, I was able to solve some problems. And I maintained that relationships with those individuals. And that got us in the second deal. So Heath and I, we started on the grind, social media, networking like crazy, attending almost every meetup that we possibly could, you know, 3-4 hours per week, and just building some pretty good relationship and improving our markets, right? So people see what we were doing. So by the time the first deal together came around, we were ready. We had the relationship, we had the money raised, and we had the knowledge to actually properly vet these property markets, so on and so forth, right? So we got brought a 167 units in Augusta, Georgia, a really solid market that is growing significantly. And these were with guys we knew for over a year. And I'll let Heat finish the rest of it.
Yeah, so it was interesting because we got brought in on the 167 unit deal, and something I'm fairly proud about, because you don't realize it. My first multifamily deal was a 20 or 16 unit and didn't have any money, and I needed $120K to buy it. So I raised that, but that was from friends and family. And so here comes a big property and we're committing ourselves to raise $500,000. And it was pretty cool that once people were able to wire their money, we had 578K. So we overraised for our commitment in less than a week, which I thought was awesome. The thing, when you hear people say, yeah, we raised $5 million in 5 days, or, you know, I raised, you know, $1 million in 2 weeks or whatever, what people don't realize is that was 10 or 11 months of relationship building, of putting content out onto the social media platforms. A lot of times people have 15 minute or 20 minute, you know, maybe if you're lucky, 30 minute calls. Hutch and I are at a point where we still can give a little bit more time. And a lot of times we'll be scheduled for a 15 or 30 minute call, and we talk for 45 minutes or an hour, and we haven't really even discussed anything business related, because for us, it's not so much the deal or any of those things. We're there to ask questions, but we really want to get to know you as a person. We really want to get to know what drives you, why are you doing this, and fun stuff you've done in your life, right? So like half the time we don't even talk so much about what's going on, because all that information is going to be there.
I think you hit the nail on the head about the 11 months beforehand, right? Like people don't think about that, right? It's like, oh, well, how did he do that? Or I want to be able to do that. But you don't know about all the work that was involved so much, you know, further before, right? You know, everything that you are consistently doing over time, and really just having to have faith that it was going to work, right? Tell us about some of those things, though, that were, you know, give us some of the top things that were most important in being able to raise over $500,000 in less than a week.
Yeah, so be more interested than you're trying to be interesting, right? Something I learned from Steve Covey, right? So when you got into a call with an investor, they call you for a reason, right? They're using their time, you know. So because we had the podcast, when a lot of folks, when they talk to us, they have the feel as if they already know us. So they're very comfortable talking about the things that they've done and aspiring to do, right? So it made the conversation a lot smoother, you know? So just be very interested in creating relationship, because when all these apartments and money goes away, the relationship is what we have. So investors are a byproduct of the relationships that we create.
Hutch, you're the master networker, and you talk about being interesting, right? How do you do that? Can you give the listener an example of how you do that or think through that when you're on a call with a new investor?
Yeah. So it's very easy for us to get caught up in our own museum, right? In wanting to sell ourselves to our investors. But people like to talk about themselves. Right? People like to talk about themselves, their family, their accomplishments, right? And this is not a tactic. This is just wanting to learn more, because it's really important. Because look, when you get into these relationships, it's 3, 4, 5, 8 years until we exit this property. So it's really important to be able to make that emotional deposit into those relationships up front, right? So
you got to vet them too, right? a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
So we want to identify their two biggest thing, right? As far as the investor goes, with three. One, are they a good person, right? And on the investor side, do they have the risk tolerance and do they have the risk capacity to even be investing in real estate syndication? And that takes a whole bunch of questions, right? And just a feel. We use Zoom so we can see those facial expression. We can see the confusion. We can tell whenever something does not sit right with them. We can explain or ask them more questions.
I think from a mechanic, you know, like if you're asking sort of for strategies and approaches while you're on the actual call, I think a lot of times you start out, hey, where are you at now? Where are you living? You know, how did you get there? Where have you lived in the past? What are some of the things that you like to do? What do you do for work? Wow, that's crazy. How did you get into that? What are some of the fun things you do in your free time? If you had more free time, what would you be doing with it? There's a lot of questions that you would just ask someone if you met them at a, you know, lunch hour or bar and you're wanting to get to know them a little bit. That's the interaction that I think that we all, that's why we make friends, right? And so
before we started interviewing, you know, you had mentioned like you haven't met a stranger. I think you said that didn't engage with you first, right? You're more the introverted, I think. Speak, you know, just 30 seconds on like, how do you get past that? I think it's really difficult for people. You know, everyone's not like Hutch, willing to just speak to everyone. And most people are very reserved in the beginning. How did you get past that and just, you know, be able to say, okay, you know, now I can talk to anybody?
I tell you, you go to these conferences and you'll see a group of people standing around and you're like, hey, I want to go be in that conversation. But I always felt like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber, when he walks by those guys, he's like, hey, big ups. All right. You know, or just like, hey, you walk up, can I interrupt your conversation so that I can join? So I think you can even look up on YouTube and other things, strategies for saying things. I used to say, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. But then I learned you're like, oh, I'm sorry I'm going to interrupt, but I'm going to anyway. So I say things now, mind if I join the conversation, or I heard you were talking about this, you know, I have this experience. And so there are ways to interject yourself into a conversation that's not awkward. And even if it is awkward, you, as long as you're authentic about it, that's fine. Now, getting over the initial fear, that's just something that you got to take a deep breath and say, you got to commit. You know, if it's like jumping off a diving board into a pool. There's that moment when you're like, all right, I'm just going to go. And then you go. Same thing. You see a group of people that are having an interesting conversation. You want to be a part of it. Take a deep breath and just take the step into it. And, you know, hopefully you've done some research to find out ways to interact if that doesn't come natural to you. But those would be my recommendations.
It's definitely a muscle. Go ahead, Hutch, 30 seconds.
Now, I was saying, especially at a conference, that's where a lot of folks like to talk about their accomplishment and what they've done in multifamily. So as long as you're asking the right questions, whether it's a passive investor or an active investor, you look at the building relationship, as long as you're asking the right question, like, ah, interesting, how do you accomplish that? No, so what are some of the struggles that you found in that situation? And you get them talking about their experience, and people like to talk about themselves, and you'd be surprised how much connection you have with asking the right questions.
That's awesome. So tell me, guys, you're looking at a new deal now. How do you prepare for a downturn?
Yeah, so this last deal that we took down, one of the biggest thing was, it was a loan assumption, but one of the biggest thing was to make sure that we had a break even significantly lower than what we typically underwrite. So we usually go right around 75%, but this one was right between the high 60s and low 70% as far as occupancy goes. You know, so the break-even point was pretty significantly low. So the market would need to, or vacancy would need to go crazy upwards. And this is in a market where the average occupancy is over 90%. You know, so we are conservatively underwriting these deals in good markets, not just any market. We're looking for good markets because, look, when you look at, and a lot of the gurus would tell you, or the experienced investors, they will tell you that when you look at the markets that were performing pre-COVID, those are the markets that will tend to perform post-COVID if they were on the path of growth. Now, New York and San Francisco, not too certain, right? But I saw a report recently that talked about all these commercial leasing that was getting signed in Manhattan. And these were being signed 50% above what they were in 2019, right? So a lot of folks are talking about New York, but the commercial space, those are getting leased up. You know, but when you look at a place like Huntsville, and which is our favorite markets, and Phoenix, those and Austin, those areas will continuously grow as long as you buy the deal right.
Do you all have any predictions, you know, for the real estate market over the next 6 to 12 months?
So we're multifamily focused, but if you got some houses or some townhomes that you want to have rental property. So for me and my wife, we bought a couple of single family townhomes, which are our kids' college funds. Have some cash ready to start scooping up some properties that may be coming on the market. It's crazy right now, but it might be a frenzy here soon.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball, right? Right now, this should be a huge sell-off, right? Remember this time last year, a lot of folks are talking about how COVID is going to affect the market and how in the summer, they'll talk about Q3 and Q4, Q2, 3, and 4 is going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. That didn't really happen, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what happened this year, but we're continuously building relationship to where if we see those property that have good fundamentals and we can do a loan assumption or purchase the properties for pennies on the dollars, we will be ready.
Give us a daily habit that each of you have that you're very disciplined about that have helped you achieve success. And are you still doing the accountability thing about being up in the morning?
So for me, one thing that I do every morning is I check the bank accounts for both the business and personal. I update my spreadsheet daily. It's just good to know that everything's going the way it's supposed to. If I need to add something, am I going to be able to cover it? So that's one of my big habits that I do every day. As far as getting up at 4 every morning, COVID had put a dent in my race schedule because everything was canceled. And so I still get up at 4 few times a week. Other times a week, I try to make sure that I'm getting the adequate rest that I need. But Hutch and I are still meeting and doing the things that we need to push the business forward.
Aside from waking up, and this is usually for plan, we got things we need to work on with before we work on it, right? And this is usually maybe 2 or 3 times a week. But my one thing in the morning, so I drive to work with Athena, right? And it's important that in a relationship, you grow together, you know, so I have the ability to talk to her about the things that I'm thinking and get to pretty much capture her in the car, right? And get her undivided attention. She have my undivided attention to talk about things that are important to us so we can grow together. That's the most magical time of my day.
Love that. Well, what about your all's best source for meeting new investors right now?
I like LinkedIn. I believe LinkedIn is where you can create some meaningful relationship, right? So we send out a lot of connection requests and make an effort to identify those people who meets what we call the avatar, right? For us, they are retired veterans, right? Because our goal is to provide investment opportunity to 100 veterans in the next 24 months, right? On a march to 1,000 doors. Additionally, we're giving back 10% of all our acquisition fees to nonprofit organization that benefits our veterans, right? So meet a veteran on LinkedIn, send them a quick message with an introduction of who we are, nothing spamming, and just get the conversation flowing to learn a little bit more who they are until we can get them on a Zoom call.
We also started the Southeast Multifamily Meetup. That's every Monday at 7 p.m. Central. And that has grown considerably since we started that. And that is another place where people get to come learn about the market, learn. We have a guest on each week to go into things. We've had Rod Cleef on there. We've had Neil Bowers coming next week. So we are helping people network and within that ecosystem as well. And so a lot of people come in, they hear us speak, they hear the guests we bring on, and that's another avenue.
Nice. Well, guys, I know you mentioned it there a little bit, Hutch, but I always like to ask how people like to give back.
Yeah, so Heath mentioned earlier that the problem he was trying to solve was fixing a 15% gap, right, in his pay. And for me, I was aspiring to replace this passion because, look, Athena told me, Shalon, I'm concerned about when you retire. Because she believed that after I retire from the Marine Corps, I'm going to wake up Saturday morning dressed in my uniform and then sit in the living room, right? So I have to replace that passion. And I'm super passionate about real estate, you know. So my goal for getting into multifamily was to, one, replace that 50% income that I would lose when I retire and also find a new passion. Now, what we have identified since then is that it's not really about the money, right? When you see the power of the multifamily space and the impact that you can make in the community and the impact you can make on other people's life as they build their financial wealth, right? And they can also give back to the cause that they believe in as well. We realize that it's way more powerful than just replacing the passion or just fixing 15% in your income. And that's when we decide that our path to give back is to give back to a nonprofit organization that benefits our veteran. And 10% of all our acquisition fee will be going towards nonprofit organization that benefits our veterans.
There's a beautiful realization that occurs when you realize you have the power to be an agent of transformation for others. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we talked about a lot while we were driving back and forth between Huntsville is not only are we able to help our families, but if we were able to get someone else who didn't know that this was a thing, or, you know, not on the order of Kiyosaki or anything, but if we could impact people's lives by one, showing them how to help build their financial wealth or give back to programs that supported the things that we care about, that was just an amazing moment of clarity about this space and why we love multifamily investing so much.
For sure. It's incredible what happens when you desire to give in a big way and just see how many other people really desire to give as well and want to join you. And so that's incredible what you guys are doing. It's been, like I said, great to see your all success and how that's happened and hear more about the details of your partnership. And I just think it's neat to hear too, just that accountability piece, because I hear all the time about how do I know that this is the right partnership, right? I get that question often. And I'll talk about our experience, my business partner and I, and other partnerships as well. But I don't know that I've heard that. And I think that's an incredible way to say, hey, you know, let's be an accountability partner for a while and hold me accountable to these things or vice versa. And you're going to get to know each other a lot through that, I think. And so I love that thought process through that, but also just how you all explained that being able to raise the money, you know, raising, you know, almost $600,000 in less than a week, that doesn't happen just because you sent out a random email one time, right? Or even two, you know, that took a lot of work, you know, getting to that point. I mean, I know that firsthand, just the work that went in behind making that happen. And so congratulations for one, just your success in that, but tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and learn more about you.
You can go to our website, hsquaredcapital.com, email me at heath@hsquaredcapital.com, and LinkedIn are our primary. We do have a Facebook group for the podcast, the Multifamily Real Estate Experiment Facebook group.
Yeah, so on LinkedIn, I'm Hutch the Marine Investor on LinkedIn. You can connect with me that way. I'm on there almost every day. Or you can just shoot me a text at 850-466-8490. That's my direct number.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.